outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of Bavada's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey. The God Journey. The God Journey.
2 years ago, we ran a podcast that got an awful lot of interaction, shall we say, from people for a variety of reasons. Some just thought, man, that was really awesome. Some thought it was really ridiculous and condescending. And some thought, I want to think about that some more. And some thought we just might have interpreted it wrong. We talked about a vision that my friend Bob Prater had a couple years ago about the state of America. In this vision, he saw two presences, two beings, demonic beings, dancing over the map of the United States. And one was the spirit of religion, the other was the spirit of politics. And as they began to move to this music that mimicked worship music that we get from a lot of places these days, and it wasn't that it was the worship music. I think people got that confused. Right. It just mimicked it. And you can hear that voice in the background. Bob Prater's joined me again 2 years later in the kind of ramping up to an election, but this really isn't about the election, and this is not about how you should vote, nor are we recommending any of that kind of stuff. But in the current climate, I felt it was important. Let's go back and take a look at that vision, Bob. And so I've invited Bob Prater to join me. Hi, Bob. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, Wayne. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, Bob was on last week. We talked about some stuff that really resonated with a lot of people. That was fun.
Good.
And I said, you know, we got to come back. And I'd really like to just say, gosh, this vision, these two spirits dancing, moving with the music. And in the vision, it was a lot of Christians joining in. And I think that's what ticked off a lot of people, because they feel like we're not the only ones joining in. And you're right. I look at some of the things that are going on the left these days, and it may not come from necessarily a religious flavor, but it is coming with that same kind of religious passion and zeal. So it's not that it's Christianity that is the problem. I hope people, unless that's what you're trying to say or what you felt the vision was saying, I think it was more there's these two demonic presences that are drawing our society into conflict. We even joked on the podcast about, you know, they're going to take guns to the streets. 2 years later, we've got guns in the streets from both sides, left and right.
From both sides.
So how are we doing, Bob? How do you revisit that? Have you had another vision since to give some clarity to what that was supposed to mean? Because, man, I have prayed against those spirits. I have really wanted to see a gentler turning. I was hoping maybe language of healing from a polarized nation would add into that conversation. It has with some. It's been vilified by others, saying you can't make peace with the other side. This is all out war. And so in some ways just fed that. My heart hurts, man. How's yours?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in pain. And a lot of time pondering, thinking. I spend a lot of time in prayer. And this is not just a United States problem. This is an earth problem right now. You're right that it transcends Christianity as we see, my goodness, this terrible thing that happened in Los Angeles over the weekend with two off-duty sheriff's officers, or not off-duty, but eating lunch.
On duty in their car, shot at point-blank range.
Yeah, point-blank range.
Yeah, semi-automatic.
But it's what happened next that really, you know, was stunning to me, because then protesters showed up at the hospital saying, let them die. And I don't understand how we have become so divided. But these spirits, you know, they're not, certainly the spirit of religion is it goes beyond Christianity into, I mean, anything can become a religion for anybody. You know, whether it's a movement, whether it's a philosophy, all of those things can become religious in nature. And when we become what I like to call true believers, then we are ripe for what we're seeing right now, because these folks all believe very strongly, whether it's, you know, whether it's the folks that were marching outside the hospital saying, let them die, there's a strong belief in something that they're trying to change.
Yeah, by true believers. Really, By true believers, you're not talking about Christians. You're talking or belief in Christ. You're talking about true believers in a cause, whatever your cause is.
Yeah. Okay. I mean that, like, you know, true believers, like, you know, you and I saw a video today of a very well-known Christian personality, writer.
A prophetic voice.
A very strong prophetic voice to the church, you know, saying that he has had dreams and that, you know, we need to get gun training, that God is raising up godly Christian militias because of what's coming to this country.
A civil war. Absolutely says civil war is coming to this country.
Yeah, he said civil war is coming. He said he saw people popping up like mushrooms from the ground to be involved in this civil war. And now this is the same guy, hopefully this doesn't connect dots, but this is the same guy that, you know, 10 years ago said that he had a dream that Muslims were popping up from the ground like mushrooms and they were coming to take us. So we are in a season, Wayne, where the craziest, loudest voice wins. It gets the attention, and if they say the right words, it's almost like there was a movie with Charles Bronson a million years ago called Telephone.
If it was with Charles Bronson, it'd have to be that long ago.
Yeah, it was like in the 80s, like mid-80s, called Telephone, T-E-L-E-F-O-N, where he was dealing with Russian sleeper agents that had been planted here and lived here their whole lives. But when a phone would ring and a certain word would be said to them, they would be triggered, and suddenly they are agents of Russia to do evil. It's almost like if we just say the right word, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, somebody, I think it was Donald Trump Jr., said, you know, our dad is the only one that will defend God. Without my dad, we don't know what happens to God. And that's the gist of it anyway. And people grab onto that and we dance because there's enough truth that is being said that tickles our ears, that causes us to begin to be like the RCA dog, where we cock our heads and say, "You said what to us?" And it's like that film Telephone. It's like we just got the phone call and we are now in service of something other than the kingdom.
And that's
true. It's extracurricular kingdom stuff.
And that's true on both sides of this thing. I mean, there's a real problem with racial injustice. We need to have a real conversation about that as a culture. I'm convinced that's true.
Right.
But on one side, you've got people from the left that are there's people behind that. And it's not all in the Black Lives Matter movement or Antifa or All Out War or anything like that. But there's enough voices under that banner that are fomenting the kind of conflict we're talking about, where it's all cops are bad, defund the police, and you go out and shoot. And one guy goes out and shoots police like that. It's not the first time. It probably won't be the last. But then you're talking about the sentiment behind it, which is, well, they deserved it, hope they die. And you've got the same situation going on the right. You've got people who feel like every black encounter with the police are justified in doing what they're doing because the black person was not a perfect human being. And so we're not having the essential nuanced conversation we need to have, that there's truth to both. Not all cops are racist or foment injustice against people of color. That's true. But that's not true to these true believers you talk about on one side of the argument. And it's also true that there is injustice, that black people live in a different society than we whites do. And there's injustice in that. There's lack of opportunity in that. And there's enough anger from people who've endured that long enough to say, we're not going to take it anymore, dadgummit. We want to be recognized. We want to be helped. And then when you find these extreme examples left or right, then it's easy to marginalize the whole conversation and just retreat to your echo chamber and hear the stuff I want to hear that feeds my true believer instinct. And to me, I see that as the greatest danger here, that there's not the ability to communicate across these differences. And quite honestly, our politicians are feeding that.
they figured it out. Just like social media, you and I have had this discussion about social media, that if you click on something that is slanted towards one side or the other, the more you click on those things, the more that social media companies will feed you those things to keep your anger stoked. Because when we're not at rest with each other, we're just going to keep going back to social media to find out what is next going to make us angry and piss us off.
Yeah. And you don't, it doesn't matter whether you click on it because you liked it and passed it on to your friends, or you clicked on it because you hated it and passed it on to your friends so they could hate it with you. And what this, there's a new documentary. I haven't seen it yet. It's on Netflix. Heard about it last week. It's called The Social Dilemma. And I've done enough reading on this to know how these algorithms work. So that the profit motive of Facebook, the fruit of that is to divide this country in more austere terms, in greater terms. That's the business model, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whatever. The vitriolic posts get the interactions that make people believe, the true believers believe, that there is no alternative reality to their own echo chamber of what they think to be true. The conclusion of that is this. It says social media itself is not the existential threat. Rather, it's the way that social media surfaces and amplifies the worst of humanity. The war then is not so much with big tech as it is with humanity's horrible impulses. Because people I know that I really love, that they're in that echo chamber where that's all the facts they consider. They're spoon-fed a certain set of facts that reinforces their bias and their prejudice, and then they come to think it's true, and therefore they dismiss anything that's alternative to that. And so these two polarizing forces, which I think is what these demonic spirits most want to foment, we're going to ruin this country by dividing it, by making them mistrust the other and feeding that anger. And man, the social media platforms have just fed that marvelously well.
Well, they have. And I happen to think that social media is the logical conclusion that we reached after 24-hour news, because we started down a path where we just wanted to know things instantly. And so we have, you know, here comes CNN, and then here comes Fox, and here comes MSNBC, and 24-hour news stations all fighting to be more salacious than the next guy and to get there first. And if we're right, we're right. And if we're wrong, we'll apologize. That's seriously how it works. Yeah. And then that morphs into what we see now, which is, it's taking the worst of us and holding it up to get a reaction.
What they're not alleging here is that Mark Zuckerberg wanted to create this discord in the nation. This just gets there because of their profit-making model. This for them, it's about money. And one of the conclusions of this film, which I think is interesting, this documentary, is while Mark Zuckerberg and Susan Wojcicki, I don't know if I'm trying to get that right, are billionaires, meanwhile, everyone else has given up happiness, knowledge, intimacy, spontaneity, time with our families, and free will. That's what we traded, to have these social media platforms where a lot of good goes on those platforms as well.
It does.
But we're talking about the vitriol that's there that really drags us to the verge of another civil war. And I don't think most Americans are on the verge of that, but I think there are extremist elements on both sides that are on the edge of that. And guns are already in the street from right and left, and people are being killed, and more Christians are being trained, man. I've got friends that are going to this place near California here where you train for guns and constitutional rights to own guns, and you're arming up because, and ammo's selling like crazy because there's this real fear that we're going to lose control of government. We, the right, are going to lose control of government, and we're going to have to arm ourselves to protect ourselves from those who are coming, because, as was said during some of those violent parts of the protests, loot it back. Just take back what we should have had if society had been more just.
Right.
And that scares the willies out of people.
Well, it should scare all of us a little bit if our heads are on right. It doesn't mean that we don't pursue justice. It doesn't mean that we don't pursue what's right. But I think for me, I have to be more discerning as I go. If I see a story, whether it's a news story or a social media story, whatever the case may be, before I allow myself to even have a reaction, I fact check it. I check it out. I will go, like if somebody says, you can't believe that what blah, blah, blah just said, and say it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Trump just said this. I will go to Google and type in, and you know, Trump and part of what they're accusing him of, and see what comes up from other sources. Before I won't share it with anybody. I won't even allow myself to be emotionally, you know, into it until I know it's true. Because there's so much of this that's out there that is simply 100% untrue on both sides. I just think at the end of the day that it's incumbent upon all of us to be a little more discerning about the things that we read, the things we see, the things we hear. You know, kind of like how the Bible says, test the spirits. Let's test the sources and see if what we're hearing is really true. And then measure our responses a bit more rather than literally allowing our heads to explode on every little thing we see, I think would be a decent move in the right direction.
Unfortunately, though, some people, they fact check with their favorite prophetic evangelist or their favorite author guy or favorite whatever guy, you know? Yeah. Someone handed me the August copy of Charisma, someone I deeply admire and respect, and handed me open to this article called The Spiritual Reality. And it's an excerpt from Stephen Strang's newest book, and said, this is what I absolutely agree with. This speaks for me. And I said, okay. And I took it cause I was interested, and oh my gosh, it didn't take long for me to just my heart to hurt. Because this gets caught up in the same thing we've been talking about. We could see here's what he's saying. The two options of the election coming up. We could see the president fully vindicated in each and every accusation, attack, and plan devised by those who have opposed him. And this will usher in a reprieve of God's grace that will lead us to even greater things as a country. Or we can elect the wrong person, doesn't call him out by name, and we'll plunge into a period of tremendous unrest. The president could lose the 2020 election and be removed from power, and we could see economic peril and decline resulting in the plummeting of our dollar and global currency. We'd face immediate international threats, our adversaries, which could lead to outright war. And it just goes on and on. This is the stark contrast of the election. And I know people listen to this are going to say, man, I absolutely agree with that. This guy who handed me it did. This is a vote for God or for evil, for peace or for war, for prosperity or for need. And to me, when you talk about, yeah, we got to fact check this stuff, my fear is that people, they will anyway, whether I fear it or not, and they have their dreams too. This guy talks about his dream. It's the bottom of the ninth, 3-2, Donald Trump's on the mound wearing Babe Ruth's jersey, and the pitch comes down, he knocks it out of the ballpark, there's a home run, everything ends with great joy and happiness. And I tell you what, I know you and I aren't there. I know people listen to us. Some people listen to us are there. They really feel like Donald Trump is the savior of the world. And they use that here. He's the savior of the world. He's the savior of America. Partly what you said earlier about protecting Christians. No one else is protecting us. All of this, even this article, he says that, is the fear that our rights are being taken away by this secular group on the other side. And we've got to reassert the Christian America and take it back.
Part of this is our natural ability to love, which I think is something that, you know, most believers in Jesus aspire to love well. Somewhere along the line, we fell in love with ourselves a bit, and our agendas, whatever those agendas may be. And I know this is sometimes difficult for people to hear, but our agendas aren't always God's agendas. They're just not. But we're convinced that they are, and that we're fighting on the side of righteousness and truth. There have been several prominent Christian leaders, prophetic voices, who have said, if you do not vote for Donald Trump. You are voting for this country to go to hell, and God will remove his hand. It's like, it's an awful lot of pressure if you're a believer who's just getting ready to vote, to, you know, to pick somebody. But it's where we are. It's where we are. Fear has always been a tactic used, not just in the church. Fear is a tactic used in politics. It's a tactic used in business. There's always, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out, whatever the case may be. And so, fear is powerful. So, you know, darn it, I voted for Joe Biden and, you know, now the devil's here.
And it's not that people, honestly, and we said this in the previous podcast we did on this, and people, I think missed it. There are good reasons you might want to vote for Donald Trump and his policies. There are good reasons you might want to over Biden and his policies. So this is not about that. This is about seeing whatever side you're on as the savior of the nation against the enemies that you hold in your heart, whether you're coming out from the left or you're coming out from the right, either one.
Right.
Now, we've had in the news recently, this Jerry Falwell, who's one of the key guys that got Trump connected with the evangelical movement.
Yes.
He took over Liberty University from his dad, and he's never claimed to be a spiritual leader. He's claimed to be the fundraiser, you know, administrative guy that just drives this institution. But it's turned out he's had a pretty sordid lifestyle that's been completely out of line with what most Christians would want to admire. And you can understand why he would be more taken with Donald Trump and not worried about some of the problems that were there. As many Christians, even Stephen Strang in his article said, we know Donald Trump's not perfect. We know he's got a lot, but that's not the point. The point is not that he's not perfect. The point is that he's protecting us in ways that, you know, we need to, and he's doing right by our society and things that need to be done. But then I found this. Somebody sent this to me, and it was from a Facebook post from a student leader who graduated from Liberty in 2016. And I thought this was incredibly insightful for someone who's got to be like 25-ish maybe, if they're 4 years out of university. Christians have often described sin as misdirected love, loving the wrong things or loving the right things in the wrong way. Christian education, then, has historically focused not merely on delivering the right information, but also on giving students the tools, music, prayer, storytelling, to shape our loves. Yet evangelicals, and Liberty in particular, have often neglected this focus, falsely believing that if we know the right information, we will act rightly. What we're seeing in Mr. Falwell now are the consequences of that neglect. How does a man who knows all the right answers come to so much wrong? By underestimating the power of the loves in our lives, in this case, political power, to shape our actions and alter our moral commitments. At Liberty, our minds may have been receiving correct content, but our hearts were being trained to love wrongly, to love political power, physical security, and economic prosperity as higher goods than they are. The leaders of the university may have believed that we could be immersed in the stories and values of the Republican Party while maintaining any theological truths incompatible with them. But the power of our effective education was stronger. The ethics we learned in a classroom were not merely as powerful as the emotion and desire created in a stadium full of people singing, praying, and hearing stirring messages about making America great again. For Liberty University as a whole, and for Mr. Falwell as an individual leader, there's compelling evidence that proximity to power is its own kind of education. It shapes who you are and what you desire in life. A thirst for political power, and sometimes obtaining that power, begets more than corruption. It often involves sexual immorality, degraded moral judgment, and financial malpractice. Proximity to power shapes who you are and what you desire in life. Many evangelicals today have tied not just their policy hopes for conservative judges, but their spiritual being to Donald Trump himself. They see him as their savior with a capital S. They are all in. No moral failure, no ethical outrage, no leadership fiasco is a red line they are not willing to cross for the political power he promises them. The misdirection of Liberty students should inspire reflection instead of ridicule. None of us are immune to the power of what our hearts have grown to love.
That, well, stunning.
It is stunning.
stunning for someone who has kind of been there, and you know, stunning for a younger person to have come to those conclusions. But they are spot on. Those things seem to, those things they talked about, sexual immorality, financial impropriety, all of those things, they do seem to follow proximity to power. It's part of the deal. There's not too many people I know that can get everything they want, all the power, all the money, all the whatever, and still be a humble person that you know, walks uprightly before God and before men. It's a rare thing.
And that's just not true in our day. That's been true for the last 6,000 years. I go back to Saul and to David and to the pharaohs and the kings and the... Right. Yeah, the popes, the always extravagance, indulgence, always travel with proximity to power. We're special. We're an exception to the rule because of what we have and what we do. And we interrelate with each other. That's what's happening, I think, in both the left and the right power structures. There's such a communion of camaraderie in these misplaced affections. That they don't even stop to think, are we not seeing clearly? Are we off the beaten path? I don't think they even consider. The man who handed me Charisma magazine would not even consider that this view of America is going to result in a civil war. It will result in destruction, whether Donald Trump gets voted out in November or 4 years from now when someone else is voted in. There's a reaction going on. And it may have started in this current wave of it. This is not put everything on Donald Trump. It may have started with Hillary Clinton calling people like us deplorables.
Right.
You know, that language escalates to actions, and those actions escalate. And now we're into a full-on this dance, which, you know, the demonic dance between politics and religion. I see that as really inuring to our absolute inability to communicate on these important issues we need to be communicating about. Even us talking about this, people listening are going to put us in one camp because we're not clearly in their camp. We're in the other camp. And I'm clearly not in either camp. It's not A and B here. It's A and C. And I'm living in B somewhere where I can.
Right.
And there's a lot of people living there too. There are. It's not just me and you. There's a lot of people who can say, you know what, this is more nuanced than that. And you may prefer Trump's policies, but you can't prefer his character. You can't. And to say he's a moral man, I look at the left. I look at Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Things said on the left are as egregious.
They are.
They're as horrible. And it's that divide that has got to somehow become our issue, not the issue on either side of it.
But when you have 24-hour news, when you have social media fomenting all of the fringes of what this is, the fringes become mainstream. That's what's crazy here, is what used to be fringe happens now every single day, and we're not even fazed by it. When Donald Trump first became president, and I know this is probably going to make some people angry, but I mean, he lies a lot. He just does.
I had somebody challenge me the other day, tell me one lie Donald Trump has spoken.
Well, okay.
And I just go, really? Google it. Or not Google it, because people, as soon as you said, I thought about that earlier when you said Google it, I'm thinking, you know, most people say, well, Google's got its leftist agenda, excuse it.
That's political.
So, you know, go duck go or duck go, whatever the other one is.
Bing. Duck go.
Duck go. That's the one I use all the time because I've just given up on Google. I don't trust the answers that it gives me to be not weighted in their preference.
I honestly think there might be a way forward. And it's when we examine the life a little bit of King David, who I think embodies a lot of the terrible stuff. This is a guy that literally was a hero in his country for what happened with Goliath. Saul tries to murder him and have him murdered unsuccessfully. David becomes king and is filled with this power. So, my gosh, he's on his roof watching a woman take a bath and has her brought to him. So he rapes this woman who is married to someone else, and then murders her husband to cover it up. That's a direct result of power. He had the power to do these things. And so we see that that behavior is probably far beyond anything Donald Trump has ever done. And that's King David.
And that was a man after God's own heart.
That's the thing. So I think the key is when we look at King David, he repented well. When he was confronted by Samuel, the prophet, who said, you know, there was a man who had a lamb.
It was Nathan, not Samuel, but go
Nathan,
ahead.
That's right. Excuse me, Nathan. When he was confronted, he was angry at first, and then he said, oh, God, it's me. It's me. We don't have real good role models for this right now, because everybody is covering their own butts and covering their own sin and making justification for it. But here was an example of a man who stood up to the music and said, it's me. I'm guilty. And because he repented well, we read that he was a man after God's heart. That's the key. And so if we really want to escape where we are, the marriage of politics and religion, we need to begin to repent. It's pretty easy. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. But then again, this is the least humble currently, the least humble incarnation of the church I've ever seen. We refuse. There are literally leaders that are leaving the word humble out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 because they just don't want to.
Well, if you're a true believer in your cause, you don't have time to stop and assess where I might be getting this a bit wrong. And even if I love the right things, maybe I'm loving them in the wrong way, as the writer of that piece said. And I hope, you know, if nothing else, this coronavirus, all that's going on in our world right now, as it falls on everybody, there's no division between left and right as to who gets COVID, right? It just falls to us. And would that tenderize our hearts enough to stop, take a breath, and say, God, I really just want to be who you want me to be? I think the seductive power of political proximity this young person wrote about, I've said that for a long time. I think it's just people don't know. I've been in rooms where you get close to things like that. It does shape your behavior. It doesn't mean you would be righteous enough to endure it. You don't know. You don't know that that's true. It's easy to make compromises, little ones, for the greater good. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but this, the greater good. And when you become a true believer of a cause and you lose sight of who Jesus is and how his heart is breaking over what's going on in just our relationships to people around us who see the world differently than we do, and the vitriol that's winning the day, then I think we might have hope that somebody would make a turn, that people would.
You said it. If Jesus becomes the model, I really like, one of my heroes in life has been Tony Campolo. I have a high respect level for him. Who else can say the S word with impact the way that he did years and years ago to freak people out and to make a point? But he, over the weekend, said something that was so glorious in magnitude. He said, when I'm accused of being a socialist in religious garb, I answer that I am as conservative as the word of God and as liberal as the love of God. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Who can argue with that? Because if Jesus is the one, if heaven is going to give someone 70 times seven chances, who are we? Who are we to cut it off at seven? Who are we to cut it off at three? It's just his ways are not our ways. And I think part of this whole deal on this earth is for us to learn to love the way that he does. And that's the cure. Without that, when we don't have love for people that we disagree with, I like the idea that we're not all free. I'm not free until we're all free. And I need to fight for the rights of people whose experiences are different than mine, just as hard as I would fight for my family. When those things happen, the world changes. But until then, we have what we have. We have people declaring civil war and encouraging people to go get their training in constitutional rights and gunplay. My gosh.
Yeah, and you don't have to encourage that directly. You just have to talk about the dream you had, and then what are you going to do? People had a dream, and so you can't really refute that, and then you put God to it. And that's where I think my heart really, really hurts, because I see really wonderful people that I love getting sucked into the machinery, both the left and the right. This is not
true. It's true.
You and I are not talking about how to vote in the next election. You know, everybody's got to do what your conscience leads you to do. And we're not here to refute that. But we are here to say there's a better way to do this. And even most of my conservative friends who have not read Language of Healing for a Polarized Nation, they've heard the title. They've seen what little I've said about it here or what little I put on my blog. And they'll just call me liberal. You're a liberal. What? Sure. Gee whiz. Yeah, which I'm kind of like Campolo. I'm not liberal unless liberal is loving people.
Right.
I'm not liberal in terms of my politics at all. But just why are we afraid? And what breaks the power of these spirits over the nation? It is prayer, partly, but it's also an individual, like you said, it's an individual willingness to look at what's going on in my heart and where are my fears being manipulated and where am I finding this, as I read this article from this Facebook post from this Liberty graduate, I read the same morning, Psalm 40 said this: how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Now, turn to the proud and those who lapse into falsehood. You could put politicians there. And this whole passage is about, and you put any politician there, left or right. This is in that passage of, you know, don't look to Egypt, don't look for horses and chariots. And I just thought, man, if we've put our hope in politics, we're going to be gravely disappointed. We're going to get used. And at the end of the day, our being used only gives rise to another group of people who want to use somebody else to fight that, which only makes our side get together and become even more. And it's just this constant wrapping up. Only if our trust is in the Lord, not in horses and chariots or ballots or who's in power in terms of government power. Our hope, as brothers and sisters, that's what I said to someone today who was lamenting the discord of our nation, and say, and it was from overseas, saying, man, I'm sorry for America. I'm sorry for what you're going through. And I said, yeah, externally, it looks like a pretty horrible time, not just the political divide, the virus, our inability to respond to the virus with a national policy that makes sense, the fires in California. You've seen pictures of our state that are absolutely look like they're downwind of the campfire. And it's just covered, every valley is just covered with smoke all the way up to Oregon and beyond, because Oregon's got their own set of fires up there as well. And you look at all that, and they just said, I just feel so bad for you, America. But I said, you know what? God's bigger than all this. Yes. And there's a kingdom rising that's greater than the kingdoms of this world. And what I would hope this podcast would convey to people is not the same thing. If your favorite political person gets in power, it doesn't mean the kingdom has come.
No, that's such a gross misunderstanding of Scripture, unfortunately. But it's the prevailing understanding of Scripture in the circles that you and I have run in forever. Instead of telling people to go get gun training and buy guns and stock weapons and get ready for the Civil War, I would like to hear a prominent prophetic voice say, go knock on your neighbor's door and see if there's anything they need from you. I would like to hear people start talking about laying down their lives for people they disagree with, rather than stockpiling weapons. Are you serious? Now, we're getting towards the end of this thing, and I'm about ready to go off now. That's just the height of ridiculousness.
Well, when you had that vision 2 years ago, I'd be thinking now, as we were getting ready to talk about this day, I'm thinking now, what are those spirits doing now? And I'm thinking they're darn near breakdancing. You know, I mean, the beats up, everything. I mean, they're really into it now. I think it's the only thing that turns it around. It can be prayer. But it's got to be letting love win our heart for humanity. And we struggle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Put the struggle over there. Right. Don't think your neighbor, your opposite political party, your whatever, is the incarnation of those principalities and powers, because that's not true. The principalities and powers use those things to destroy a place where people could love and care about each other and fight for each other's good and love each other in the process. And not just the people who are like me, but the people who are not like me and don't see the way I see. So, man, we'll do this 2 years from now again, maybe. See?
I hope that things have healed up a bit 2 years from now and we're not looking at something even crazier. I can't imagine anything crazier.
You know, if the virus doesn't get our attention, if what will? What? And I
don't know.
But still,
I don't know. We pray, Wayne, for people to have eyes to see and ears to hear. That's the best I can do right now. I think there's a lot of people who think they're seeing correctly and hearing correctly that are 100% not.
But the hope is still one day, the announcement, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ and of his God.
There it is.
And that happens at the second coming. That doesn't happen in the next election.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.